Monica Carlson is the newest Skagway Assembly member. And a look inside the Emerald Princess cruise ship, a vessel new to Skagway this summer. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories are up next. The Skagway Assembly made progress on three key items at their latest meeting. The group appointed a new member, approved designs for a new waste facility, and moved closer to reopening negotiations with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. Monica Carlson is the newest Skagway Assembly member. Carlson is the operating manager at Skagway Streetcar Company and previously served on the City Council. She replaces Angela Greaser, who resigned from her position last month. The Assembly voted 4-1 to appoint Carlson. Assemblyman Tim Cochran said her experience and knowledge of the key issues at play for the municipality right now made her stand out.
Monica's been on the council 2 terms, 2 1-year terms. She's been with Streetcar for several years, served on several boards, and she was treasurer for Little Dippers for 6 years. She does understand the importance of the waterfront, and I think Skagway is forefront in her mind, and that was the clincher for me.
Assemblyman Jay Burnham voted against appointing Carlson. He said he supported Candace Cahill.
I have heard from at least 9-10 different people just on the street saying that they supported Candace for the seat. And it is a 4-month seat, pretty much echoing Steve on this. I think that Candace could hit the ground running.
Carlson will serve until the October municipal election. The Haines Assembly took a similar direction last month, choosing a candidate with the most municipal experience. They appointed former Mayor Stephanie Scott to an empty seat. The group also voted to approve the 35% design plan for the Solid Waste Recycling and Public Works project. Orion Hansen voted against it. He said the cost of the project is too high. The total cost is estimated at around $23 million.
In terms of the recycling, yes, it's something we need to improve on. But, you know, with our fiscal situation, I think it would be totally irresponsible of us as an assembly to put forth the direction that we're going to go ahead and spend another $23 million on something that's not really needed.
Hansen was not the only one concerned about the cost. Here's Assemblyman Tim Cochran.
I'm for the direction, but that's it. I want to see a viable port. I want to see some infrastructure before we commit to building anything extravagant. And I think that's been echoed by the community. But I think we need to move in a direction to utilize that property out there, but it may not be for 10 years.
Adopting the design plans doesn't commit the municipality to spending the money. It just indicates the direction they want to move in. Having an assembly-endorsed plan could also help when applying for grants for the project. Assemblyman Steve Burnham Jr. is liaison to the Solid Waste Advisory Committee that recommended the assembly adopt these plans.
This is not a pie-in-the-sky sort of thing. It's long-term planning, and it makes sense. We don't have to do it right now, but we should make a decision about whether or not we're ever going to do it.
Hansen was still not satisfied.
We cannot afford to keep proposing things that cost $10 and $20 million one time after another. You know, our debt is going to be way out of control before we know it, and we're approaching that level right this moment.
They voted 4-1 to approve and adopt the plan. The Assembly is also preparing for a meeting with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad to reopen port negotiations. The company owns much of Skagway's waterfront, and port improvements were stalled in 2015 when voters rejected a tidelands lease extension with the railroad. But now, the cruise industry is putting pressure on the municipality to make necessary port improvements that will allow Skagway to accommodate larger ships that are coming in a few years. So, the Assembly asked for a meeting with the railroad to start working toward making those improvements. White Pass President John Finlayson spoke at the Assembly meeting, and he said the company is prepared to work with the Assembly on mutual waterfront goals.
We're open to discuss these things, and I feel strongly that the city can't do this alone, and we can't do this alone. We need to have a two-way discussion that's meaningful on both sides, and the sooner we can have that, the better.
The Assembly voted to organize a port negotiation team. It includes Assemblymembers Tim Cochran and Orion Hansen. Also on the team are the borough attorney and Sean McFarlane from Moffin and Nickel. That's the company hired last year to help move along stalled port improvements. Archaeologists are doing some work in Skagway this summer. The Klondike Gold Rush National Historical Park is doing archaeological excavations along Broadway and 4th Avenue. The scientists are trying to find archaeological or structural remains related to the Hotel Seattle. The building was there in the late 1800s during the Gold Rush. The park is planning on holding presentations and discussions about what's found, and work is scheduled to take place June 5th through August 18th. There's a new cruise ship on the scene in Skagway this summer. It's the Emerald Princess's first season in Alaska. Last month, the ship made its inaugural stop in Ketchikan. KRBD's Maria Dudzak boarded the ship to attend a ceremony and take a tour.
About a dozen representatives from Ketchikan boarded the Emerald Princess for the inaugural celebration. During a brief ceremony, Ketchikan Gateway Borough Mayor David Landis presented a plaque featuring the artwork of Terry Piles to Captain Bill Kent. The captain then presented a plaque to the mayor. Following the ceremony was a tour of the ship. The 952-foot Emerald Princess can carry more than 3,000 passengers and 1,200 crew members. Luxury is the first thought that comes to mind when touring the vessel. The cruise ship has almost 900 staterooms with balconies, specialty dining, and numerous activities and amenities. Assistant Cruise Director Ana Dulce from Mexico began the tour at the Horizon Court Buffet. It's open daily from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. Dulce says no one ever is left hungry and that everyone loves to eat.
We say that we take them as passengers, and when they leave as a cargo.
There also are specialty restaurants on board where meals can be purchased at an additional cost. Dulce says the ship features local and regional food when possible. Seafood from Ketchikan was being loaded on board earlier. This day, a burger bar featured crab cakes from Tracy's King Crab Shack in Juneau.
This is a very new thing. Also, I remember on the Ruby Princess, we had a salmon burger. It was delicious. Hopefully we get it here later.
Dulce showed us what she calls the quiet pool, where children are not allowed, and movies are shown under the stars on a large screen. She says they also have activities on board related to the communities they are visiting.
Pretending we are fishing right here in Alaska. So we have a lot of stuff for all our guests to make it more like, wow, okay, I'm going to learn something also, and I'm going to be traveling, you know, and getting to know other different places, cities.
She says in warmer places like the Caribbean, they have deck parties. The ship features a large fitness center and a 926-seat theater.
This stage, it goes from deck 5 up to deck 10. If you're standing on the stage, it goes down to 5 and it goes up to 10.
Dulce says the current show is Magic to Do by Stephen Schwartz, the composer of the Broadway musical Wicked. In addition to the regular shows, Dulce says special guests are brought on board at ports of call. She says when they reach Skagway, Libby Riddles, the first woman to win the Iditarod Trail sled dog race, will be the guest speaker. The Emerald Princess is scheduled to make 19 stops in the first city this season, bringing an estimated 58,558 passengers. In Ketchikan, I'm Maria Dudzak.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. We also have news and announcements on our KHNS Facebook page, so make sure you follow us there. We're always open to your comments and story ideas, so drop us a line at news@khns.org or reporter@khns.org.